It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Romans chapter 1 and verse 5 says, "By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name." Well, the question is, to whom should the gospel be preached? Well, Paul's answer to this is to all nations. Now, we have the Great Commission, what's known as the Great Commission, in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, and Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, and Luke chapter 24 and verse 47. And in order to carry out that great commission of carrying out the gospel into all the world, Christ said, you're going to receive power to do that, according to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Well, in our text, Romans chapter 1 and verse 5, note the word grace. Well, this refers to God's undeserved favor and unmerited kindness. Paul was saved. He was an apostle only by the grace of God. And we read this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 9 and 10. Well, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8 says, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Well, Paul counted himself above fortunate, and he counted himself unworthy to be able to do this because it was such a great honor that the Lord had placed upon him the grace of being able to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ coming into this world to seek and to save those who were lost. Well, Paul preached, and it was for obedience of the faith, according to verse 5 of our text. And we're going to read other verses concerning this, but Paul's motive in this verse is for his name. That's God's name. It was to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31 says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." See, everything we do is supposed to be for the glory and honor of God. Well, as we look in verse 6 of Romans chapter 1, it says, "Among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ?" Well, he's placing those people who are saved with him at this point, and "among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ?" He's saying, you're also called. And what God is doing, he's doing among the nations, according to verse 5. And he's doing it today. God is visiting the Gentiles, the nations now. Well, notice that in our scriptures, he's visiting the nations and taking out of them a people for his name. In Acts chapter 15, verse 14, it says, "Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name." Well, what is Christ doing? Christ is building his church. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, it says, "And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock," that's upon Jesus himself, not speaking of Peter, he's speaking of himself, the rock, "Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now, Paul said, God has also called you, the saved people, to spread the gospel. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." But we as children of God have also been called. Not only was Paul the apostle and these apostles that we read about in the book of Romans, not only are the people written of then, not only were they to spread the gospel, but we are to spread the gospel to all nations, to all people. We are to make no difference, race, creed, color, background. I don't care how much money they've got, how poor they are. We are to get the gospel to the world. Romans chapter 1 and verse 7 says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Well, now he's speaking here, he's speaking now to the people in Rome and to all who are called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, he says, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, who is Paul writing to in Rome? Well, the recipients of Paul's letter were the Roman believers, the beloved of God. They were called to be saints, people who are set apart, people who are separated from sin and separated unto the service of Christ. Every believer is a saint, but sometimes believers do not live very saintly. Romans chapter 8, chapter 1, verses 8 through 13 says, Paul's saying this under the inspiration of God. First, he says, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, Paul says, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. Well, Paul, as an example, gives an outline of 8 admonitions concerning prayer in these verses. Prayer, first of all, in verse 8, should include thanksgiving. He says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Paul was thankful for the Christians in Rome and for their faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Well, secondly, we see this. Prayer must be through Jesus Christ, according to verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5 says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Well, the third prayer we see should be constant according to verse 9. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, it says, pray without ceasing. And Paul in verse 9, he says, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Now, you can pray without ceasing, without closing your eyes, without getting on your knees. You can be in, we'll say, an attitude of prayer. You can pray. We receive prayer requests, and I may be in the car and some other place that's not great to close your eyes in. You may get in an accident or something, but I can actually pray and talk to God. Your eyes don't have to be closed to talk to the Father. Paul prayed for the Romans without ceasing, and we need to pray in an attitude of prayer. Notice number 4 here. The number 4 admonition of prayer should be genuine, according to verse 9. God was Paul's witness. He said, for God is my witness. Paul was not just pretending to be a man of prayer. Paul knew that his prayer life was genuine, and he knew that God knew. Well, the fifth thing about prayer here is that prayer should involve intercession. And verse 9 talks about that. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, where it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Well, now Paul faithfully obeyed the command found in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, and we need to do the same. We may not agree with the saints in everything they say. We may not agree with them constantly, but we need to pray. Now understand what I'm about to say. We may not like them, but thank God we love them. And we need to pray for all saints, whether they are having a difficult time or whether they need something specifically from the Lord. whether they've done something to get into trouble. Whatever the case may be, we need to be praying for all saints, whether we agree with their philosophies or not. The one philosophy or the one thing that draws us together is the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not saying to throw in with the World Council of Churches or the Emerging Church or anything like that. We need to take a stand for the Lord. I'm talking about saints, those saints of God who are standing on the Word of God. Now, we see number 6 about prayer. Paul's admonition here is that prayer should be specific. Verse 10 says, making request, if by any means now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Paul was being specific, and we need to be specific with our prayers. Paul made a specific prayer request. He prayed for a prosperous journey. There is no detail in life that is so trivial that we cannot make it a matter of prayer. If God is concerned about feeding the sparrow and about clothing the lily, then he certainly was concerned about Paul's trip to Rome. And whatever you think, maybe you have something and you say, well, I don't want to bother God. Well, you need to go to God in prayer, and you need to share with him anything that comes into your life that is causing you a problem. Or maybe you have some decision to make. You take that to the Lord. No matter how trivial you think it is, God knows it's important, and you need to talk to the Lord about it. Remember the sparrow and about the lily of the field. Well, we're going to continue on, and we're going to talk further about the book of Romans in a later program. But I pray that you do know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today. Foremost on my mind and in my heart is that you come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask him into your heart. Trust him today. And you as a Christian, if you've trusted the Lord, if you've trusted him as your Savior, you need to be living for him. You need to trust him today to take care of your life. You say, well, you think there's there's Christians who do not trust Christ to take care of them? Yes, there are. There are Christians who do not trust the Lord to take care of them. They don't trust Jesus Christ to take care of them after they've been saved. And maybe you're one of those people. Well, you need to cast all your cares upon the Lord because he cares for you. And you need to be serving him today with all of your might. Trust him as a Christian to take care of your life in these difficult times that we're seeing. Trust in him and lean not into your own understanding, but trust in him. He's going to take care of the needs of your life. Remember, we who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we need to be proclaiming him. We don't need to go around wringing our hands concerning ourselves so much with ourselves, but we need to concern ourselves with those people who need Jesus Christ. Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Get busy for the Lord, Christian, and tell others about Jesus Christ, how they can go to heaven. And if you've never trusted him, you need to get busy and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart. Get serious with God, and he'll get serious with you. Tell him you're sorry for sin. You can't go to heaven with that, and you need him to take that sin through Jesus Christ, the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust him today.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.